Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Galatians chapter 1. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. This is the text. Because Easter was so early this year, we were actually able to start at the beginning of the Pentecost portion of the lectionary series this year. Usually we miss the first part of Galatians. This year we will read Galatians 6 weeks in a row and get to read almost the entire letter. Paul's letter to the Galatians is such a wonderful message of Christ justifying us, declaring us not guilty by grace through faith, apart from the works of the law, a common theme in Paul's letters. The law, it brings to you the reality of sin and curse. It does not bring you the reality of righteousness. The law doesn't only condemn, but it always condemns. It always points its finger and says, you are guilty. You are a poor, miserable sinner who deserves death and hell. The law can also point us to works that are pleasing to God, which the Holy Spirit inspires us to do. But only the gospel can rescue us from the guilt of our sin and rescue us from, as Paul says, this present evil age. That's how Paul began his letter. We heard those words last week. You have been rescued from this present evil age. But we look around and say, what do you mean? We've been rescued from this present evil age. I'm still living in this present evil age. I see evil all around me. The news is filled with war and tragedy. Family, friends, loved ones grow weak, grow old. They die. They suffer. They endure. And we live in this time of chaos. I, personally, see myself growing weak, growing older, feeling the need to purchase more life insurance. We suffer in various ways. What does Paul mean? That we have been rescued from this present evil age. Well, it's all about what the gospel is. The gospel, which Paul received from Jesus Christ, it is not a feel-good story to help you get through the tough times of life. It's not a how-to manual, how to do good in the sight of God. It's not a how-to manual to give you the steps to possess the grace and favor of God. The gospel, it is this simultaneously beautiful and ugly reality that God your Father loves you so much that he chose to send his only begotten Son to suffer unspeakable pain and humiliation and death as he is nailed to the altar of the cross as the one final Lamb of sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is not man's gospel. This good news comes directly from God. And it is good news. Not just because your sin is paid for, but Christ our Lord, who was nailed to the cross and put in a grave, rose from that grave. He rose from the dead. Just like the young boy in the days of Elijah, just like the widow's son at Nain, to whom Jesus touched the bier and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." God has the power over life and death. God has the power over your life and death and life again. And because Christ has come, you have been rescued from this present evil age. It's all about the gospel. It's all about the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. So we look at the power of the gospel, and don't let anyone ever say, "Oh, I'm such a horrible sinner. I've done so many things. You know, if I would go into the church would probably, you know, fall in on me, or God would strike me down with a lightning bolt if I walk through those doors." You know, the one good thing about such a statement is that the person has at least an inkling of the reality or the sense of reality regarding the law. They deserve a lightning bolt. But so do you. So do I. So did St. Paul. I mean, listen to him. He openly says, "I persecuted the church of God violently, trying to destroy it." He rightfully calls himself the chief of sinners. And if God chose him, he certainly can work with you. If you don't believe that the grace of God, the sacrifice of the Son of God on the altar of the cross, if you don't believe that that is sufficient to cover your sin, the real problem isn't that you're viewing your sin as being too big. The reality is you are viewing God's power and grace as being too small. I truly do believe that this is a real issue, a real stumbling block that many people have when pondering the law and gospel of God. God is viewed as being small, especially in our world today when he is mocked and chastised or said to be off in a distance somewhere, you know, and can't really do the things that the Bible says he does. But read Scripture. In our Old Testament lesson from last week, King Solomon says, as he's dedicating the temple in Jerusalem, "Heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, how much less this house that I have built." Now, that's the reality of God. Not even heaven can contain him. As I like to say, he stretches beyond the borders of the universe. His power is incomprehensible. The demands of his law are incomprehensible. And we miserably fall short. We have no hope of pleasing him simply by what we do. But likewise, his grace is incomprehensible. Who could possibly understand the fullness of his love, the fullness of his desire to be merciful to you to the point of sending his only begotten Son and make he who was without sin to be sin for us, as Paul says in his letter to the Romans? The grace of God is sufficient to cover the sin of Adam, the sin of St. Paul. By the grace of God, Jesus can speak and the boy at Nain rises from the dead. God's word tells us that the blood of Christ was and is sufficient to cover the sins of the whole world, even of those who lived in Old Testament times, who looked forward to that coming Christ. The blood of Christ established an everlasting covenant. It is complete and without measure. If anyone would say, "Oh, my sins are too many, my sins are too big," listen to the witness of Scripture. Listen to the witness of St. Paul. By God's grace, by this undeserved gift, he, the chief of sinners, is saved. He, the violent persecutor of the church, is rescued from this present evil age. And by God's grace, through no work of your own, simply on account of the love and compassion of our Heavenly Father, He chose you. And He sent His Son to pay a price for your sin, a price which you could not pay. There is no one who can rightly say, "Oh, my sins are too big," or "I'm beyond forgiveness," or "It's too late for me," or "God wouldn't want a person like me." You are all sought after by God. His greatest desire is to show mercy, to forgive. It is His nature. And since there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, because the law of God demanded an unblemished bloody sacrifice, we are presented with this gospel, this simultaneously beautiful and ugly reality. The gospel itself is nothing but beautiful. The love of God is nothing but perfect beauty. However, the mercy, grace, and compassion that rescued us, it came in the ugliest way, so as to free us from the ugliness of sin. And now that the ugliness of this present evil age has been dealt with through Christ's sacrifice, through the cross and the grave, the power of God to raise the dead, it will one day be on full display. There will come a day when Christ will say to all of us, as He did the boy at Nain, "Arise." And those who have died in Christ, we will rise. And we will speak of the mercy and grace of God. And we will sing for joy for all eternity. This is the message of the gospel. The crucified and risen Christ has overcome this present evil age. Through His death, our future is sure. It is sure in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.